So what we see in our gospel today is this profound sign of the openness that Mary had to the Word of God, the will of God, this desire that was there within her heart to be faithful to what God had promised. This is one of the gospel passages that I spent many hours praying with when I was on the 30-day retreat in October. And it's a powerful passage for many different reasons. But one of the things that really struck me as I prayed and pondered upon it is just the opening line of the reading today. How it begins in this very cosmic kind of way and then slowly begins to swirl around and to narrow down onto the specific people involved. So we begin in the sixth month, so the time when it happened. And then we move on to where it happened, who, the angel Gabriel, was sent by God. So this is God's work. It's not just a vague aspiration. To a town in Galilee, so this vague location, called Nazareth, so it gets more specific. To a virgin, engaged to a man, so still somewhat vague about who's involved. Of the house of David, so we're getting more specific. And then we're told whose name was Joseph, so more specific. And then finally we arrive at Mary. The virgin's name was Mary. So it's this beautiful sense of almost this slow reveal. You know, you can imagine it happening in a movie, this slow sense of it, this build-up, this dramatic increase, and the soundtrack would slowly begin to rise and reach its crescendo when the name of Mary was announced, because she becomes the central character in all of this. Not because she was amazing, but because she was open and she desired God and she longed for God. And that is the incredible sense of this. The angel then addresses Mary, Caro Caritao, rejoice, so highly favored one. Or as we're more used to it being translated, the opening line of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. That prayer is just taken directly from the angel's address to Mary here in this gospel. This sense of this declaration of what Mary has already achieved by opening herself from her very birth, or as the church teaches, indeed, from the moment that she was conceived. There was this openness. Nothing was placed in the way of God's action. That she was open at every stage, always choosing the way of God. But we're told that Mary is greatly perplexed by these words. I mean, A, it's a freaking angel that's appeared before her, and the normal response of people to an angel's appearance is fear. You know, oh my God, what the? This whole kind of sense of being overwhelmed by the angel. And then the angel begins to address her in such exalted way. So of course, she's greatly perplexed by all of these things. And then the angel begins to respond. And one of the things we see is that Angel Gabriel is quite chatty. One of the things that I did when I was on retreat is began to mark up the text. And I developed this kind of color-coded system, as you probably worked out I would be likely to do. So one of the things is that, the orange text there is the words of the angel. The blue text is the response of Mary. So you can see that Mary doesn't get much to say in contrast to the angel going on and on and on about the various things. So the angel says these six different things in the first section there in addressing Mary. That you will have a baby boy. You will call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High. He will be a king in the line of David, and his reign will have no end. All of these things are extraordinary. You know, any one of them would be enough to ponder for a lifetime. And yet these six declarations are made and spoken into the life of Mary. And her first question, her only real question in this is, but there's a problem, because how can this be since I am a virgin? Although she's betrothed to Joseph at this stage, and we know within Jewish tradition that the betrothal lasted for a period of 1 year. And so Mary would continue to live in her own house, so in the house of her parents, Joachim and Anna, and she would stay with them there in that house. They wouldn't move in together until the wonderful, and then and within Jewish tradition, there's this beautiful celebration of the marriage that normally lasted for a full 7 days. And part of the tradition, part of the ritual of the marriage is that there's this special tent set aside for the consummation of the marriage. And so while the guests are all kind of festive and partying, the couple kind of go off to this tent to do what is necessary to consummate the marriage. And so it is that special moment. And so Mary is saying, look, I know how this works. You know, I know what is involved in having a baby. Normally there's a dude involved, but this is impossible at this stage. And so the angel then begins to address this. And again, he goes on a bit in his answer to Mary. And he begins with these five things that he says. And I don't know that the answer is all that convincing to us. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And there's this whole sense of this overshadowing. Like the word is literally this idea of a mantle, a cloak that will enwrap around you or be placed around you. And that this power of God will somehow be present in your life. So that the child will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And again, I don't know that Mary would have left that meeting going, well, it's all as clear as everything now, and I know exactly how all of this will happen. It's this mystery that she is being invited into. But the angel does give her these other two final parts of this. Know that your kinswoman Elizabeth, although she's old, and although many have thought her to be barren, she has also become pregnant because nothing is impossible to God. And the wonderful thing about that is, even though I'm sure she's still confused, even though I'm sure she's still overwhelmed by all of this, even though she's perhaps still frightened, even though she doesn't know exactly how all of this will unfold, but Mary enters into the great heroes and heroines of scriptures by offering herself to God, taking upon her lips the words that so many of the great patriarchs and great figures from the past have said, here I am, let it be done to me according to your word. Mary becomes that sign for us of the right response during these days of Advent. As we prepare for Christmas, this longing that is there is meant to be addressed in and through the words of Mary, to open ourselves in this powerful way to wait for the child and to prepare for the Lord in the only way that Mary offers to us, to give our hearts fully to Him. Watching and waiting, wondering just why I'm so restless and sleepless, waking in the night. What was promised soon will be here. I am waiting for Him. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child. Longing and lonely, humming lullabies with arms aching and empty. My heart is open wide, oh, to see Him and to touch Him and to hold Him to me. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child. Searching and sighing, waiting for the dawn of a new day of promise. Emmanuel, come forth, soon He'll be here right before me. I am ready for Him. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child.